downstairs. I guess they still call it that. I don't know. And police cars and stanchions and the whole thing against the possibility that people may again at some point today try to occupy the station and rush cohorts in and say, we're taking our station back. Because, in fact, you know, it is not our station. It's the people's station. So somehow we are not the people, it would seem. It seemed to me we would be included in that reference of the people. You know, it's the people say, well, what about us? We ain't potted plants, are we? To call on an aging historical reference. At any rate, we are joined by our general manager, Eutrice Lee. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning.
Also, Evelyn Andino is with us. Good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning.
All right, now, a report to the listener.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And good morning, Mark. Good to see you. And I'm still able to button my clothes from the front. Thank you. Yes.
Eutrice, before you begin, I'd just like to make a note. Last night on CBS Television Local, they identified the state controller of New York as Reverend Charles McCall.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, okay, now these are the people always talking about the merit system to get jobs at places like that. You know, identified a man who is the highest elected official, black man, black person, you know, in the state, and they cannot identify him as Carl McCall.
H. Carl McCall.
H. Carl McCall. They didn't...
An ordained minister.
Yes, indeed.
So they're correct about that.
Right, but they could say Reverend H. Carl McCall, not Reverend Charles McCall, though.
Well,
on and on.
Well, thank you. Today is a rather auspicious day in particular parts of our community here in the city of New York and beyond it, for it is the Chinese New Year. And the Chinese New Year ushering in the year of the snake. And the year of the snake is said to be one of great prosperity and great challenge. I was born in such a year, the year of the snake. I'm not going to say which year of the as it was.
Okay.
But I was born in the year of the snake.
Okay.
And we thought, some of us here at the station, that it was time and it would be appropriate to come to the listeners and relate to them what our experiences have been. I want to start out by saying that the greatest credit, as we are gathered here today, the greatest credit goes to the extraordinary heroes, I would say, of the evening yesterday, who included our volunteer security staff, coming from many grassroots organizations, but most notably the United African Movement, and the help we received from them, in fact, was invaluable, and I call it heroic, because it was through their efforts that this station withstood a clearly calculated attempt to invade the station, approximating the same time, I suppose, that the offices of John Murdoch were invaded and trashed out in California. But they were extraordinary, and we received a great deal of help from the police department as well, who took extraordinary care in doing their work here and observed beyond any measure protocols that are called for under these trying circumstances. So I'm extraordinarily grateful to them. In the past 4 weeks, I've remained very much on the, how should I say, I remained very low-key. And for a reason. Number one is that I believe, as I still do, that the circumstances that have plummeted us into this quagmire were manufactured, and deliberately so, to plunge us all into chaos, and are a byproduct of the internal contradictions. You may recall me saying over and over again that WBAI is mired in internal contradictions. And if you have been listening over the past 4 weeks to the cacophony that has come at you at roughly 80 miles an hour, you might have been able to discern, hopefully as members of the station who are thinking and who are rational, you might have been able to discern that there isn't very much there, in the way of a rational discussion and in the way of a rational reason for much of the so-called activist activity. The reasons shift as the agendas shift. But while all of the noise was going on, and in some cases the militarization by some of us here at the station of a portion of our listenership, many others of us instead have buckled down to doing the work that is necessary to keeping the station going. We did not seek the warm glow of the television lights. We did not fire off press releases and emails. We did not call news conferences. And we did not do the surreptitious kind of activity aimed at dividing in order to achieve very narrow personal objectives that are destructive in their character. Instead, we came very closely together, many of us here at the station, and we actually formed a very solid bond here. And we fixed ourselves on the primary goal of keeping this station alive, but keeping it alive in a particular way. The first month has been dedicated to what we call assessment, that is, ascertaining what it is that we have to deal with. You are aware, of course, that there has been a change in management here. The former general manager, Valerie Van Isler, was fired after refusing to accept an assignment, reassignment, within the Pacifica system. Despite the protestations by Ms. Van Isler that this was a summary firing, it was neither summary nor a firing. In fact, Ms. Van Isler had been notified since June that she was facing a particular choice, and every effort was made to give her the advantage of a graceful transition. It is her decision to refuse it, and it is her decision to not be here. In the case of Bernard White, the former program director, Mr. White has been terminated for cause. Mr. White's producer, Sharan Harper, also was terminated for cause. Now, there's great demand that those two words be explained in painful detail, and it is understandable that such a demand would be made. However, these are personnel issues, and no effort would be made to prohibit any of these individuals their rights of appeal or their rights as individuals seeking redress. Mr. White will have to seek his in his own way, and I do know that Sharan Harper, my former fellow shop steward here, is being afforded her rights under the terms of the contract and the negotiated contract here with workers at WBAI, and she is entitled to do that. I might add that I had offered Ms. Harper a package, and it was refused. So her case will come to the next step on February the 6th. And at that time, hopefully, we can once again come to the table and see how best we can resolve the matter. The main thing that I'd like you to know is that at no time have I refused, and no time did I refuse, to meet with anyone who asked me to meet. In fact, I've always been available, I have not been called upon, and I have not been included in particular discussions that were key to some of the misinformation and disinformation that went out, including over these airways. I will make note of the fact that even in the so-called crisis, I have not interfered with anyone's ability or right to say what they wish. And it was an act, I thought, that was most instructive in that it yielded for me a very clear insight into just how desperately we are in need here of training and retraining and upgrading of journalistic skills. That will be done. But now what I'd like to do is to present to you a picture of how we have come to where we are in 4 short weeks, and we have done so methodically and as scientifically as we possibly can. Again, we are not interested in being out there vilifying anyone, indulging in unfettered character assassination. We are not out there defaming anybody. We are not out there seeking to destroy. We are here literally charged with gathering the tatters that others have delivered to us and making a whole garment out of it just the same. The work goes on, and even those who protest do still have a radio at their service, but we will discuss more of that later. Some of my colleagues are here to tell you, I have not instructed them, and they will tell you that, I have not instructed them what to say. They will tell you in their own words what their view is of the areas of responsibility that they are charged with and which they have been discharging to the best of their ability under the circumstances that we have encountered, none of which have been of our making. I'd like to introduce you to Sidney Smith, who in this time of trouble, literally, as I said to him last night, has been, he's about 6'4", something like that, literally a tower of strength here for us and a great inspiration, because Sidney Smith has been one of the most low-key people here at the station for years, and he has carefully and lovingly tended to the physical plant for many years. He is now the head of the department that is charged with seeing that the day-to-day operations of this station go on as smoothly as possible. Good morning, Sidney.
Good morning, Idris.
I'd like you, Sidney, if you can, to give an overview to the listeners of what it was, in your view, what it was like for you and what it is now and what you see as the greatest challenges facing us. And I will leave you alone.
Well, as you say, I have, in my position, I have always tried to have good relations with all, because the operations department affect every single person here, regardless of your position, your department, your talent, your program, on or off the air. We deal with everyone. So by tradition, through all of these years, and it's a couple of decades now, that is what we have done. We have tried to help people, to educate them, to give them artistic and technical pointers as to the craft and the art of radio, as best we understood, and have sometimes been taught ourselves by staff. In this period, this last month or two, things have changed for me in that it is easier, in a sense, that I have access to more of the tools that I've needed. Again, I'm taking pains not to blame or point. Mm-hmm. It's just that in this interim, I have been given more access to the tools I need and to supplies I need to upkeep the station. More to the point, I am working on a system, and I want to emphasize it as a non-exclusionary, non-oppressive system to bring as much of the on-air staff technically up to snuff. We all, those of us who are on the air, have a good notion of what we do, what technically is necessary, but there have been gaps, and there have been problems, and these are being corrected in a professional and humane way. That is what I want to do, and that's what we're doing. We're having meetings, the operations department, amongst ourselves, as to how to best facilitate this and how to outreach to the rest of the staff to recertify the on-air staff as to what their responsibilities are and how they should discharge them to the best of their ability, to give them the tools to do their programs even better. As I said to you before, there are a lot of technical aspects of this that I didn't want to go into because we're still formulating them, and to the listeners, unless they're radio engineers, you know, you might not be interested in particulars, but what I want to emphasize is that what the operations department is doing, as so I've gotten people who were afraid that, are you trying to give us tests so we will not have access? That is not at all the case. Most of the staff here is very talented, very thoughtful, very creative. That's why I'm here. That's why we've all stayed. But there have been certain problems and certain deficiencies, and they are being corrected. I now have the tools. I now have the equipment. New people have come in. A lot of old veterans are here. And there is a good feeling. Everybody wants this to work. For the first time in many years, despite all of the tragedy that is happening around us, within the station itself, among those who actually do the work, there is, for the first time in years, a good feeling that we can really make this beautiful. Not only a good place to work, but a joyful place to work. I know that may sound incongruous in light of what's been going on in recent hours, but this place is a place of hope, if nothing else. And that is what I'm feeling now for the first time in years. Maybe not despite the troubles, maybe because of them. This is as a listener told me, what I'm hearing is another birth. This listener had been listening since 1960, since we began. And she said, I've been listening to you folks for all these decades, and I hear the pain of all your births and rebirths, and I'm hearing the pain of another rebirth. And to me, that was very encouraging to have a veteran listener tell me that, because I can tell you that I've had my painful moments, as everyone here, as have you. Again, not to go into the specifics, Teresa has asked me to draw up a syllabus of training. I am doing that. The staff will know of this soon. Various technical matters will be simplified. It will seem easy. I got one of the best compliments I ever got from a crank caller who said, well, anybody can come in and do that. Ah, it sounds easy. I've accomplished it at last. It sounds like anyone can do it. Because when those of you who are artists, when what you do seems easy, you know, when somebody says, I can do that, yes, in about 15 or 20 years, I'm sure you can. When it seems easy, then you have made it. And again, also to the safeguarding of our license and so forth, certain measures are being taken to ensure that the station is technically up to snuff and all of those who are licensed to be here are technically competent to run the equipment and know all the proper rules and regulations and the responsibilities inherent therein. Now, these may seem fundamental, but over the years, I am sometimes guilty of this myself, have developed sort of a rule of thumb, not an exact science. We sort of have been getting by. And I think this is unwise. I think we should simply expect, as a matter of course, excellence. Again, as this older listener was telling me, she just, as a matter of course, expected that and got it. And that is what I expect from everyone in my department. It's what I expect from all the people I deal with from every department. And I'm getting back from them the same thing. It's like you mentioned before about respect. That's happening. Even, again, I emphasize, this is another difficult rebirth. Even within this, there is that. That's the only reason I have hope. If that weren't there, As you know, I mean, I offered my resignation on several occasions. I lost count.
I refused.
Every time, you know, and thank you for not taking it. I must say, it has led me to some interesting adventures here, especially in the last 24 hours. I imagine I'll be turning up on public access real soon. Thank you. But no, I am glad I'm still here. I'm glad I stayed, and I want to stay, and I want to make this institution that... I sat back and looked at it. My God, I actually have dedicated my life to this. You know how you are in something,
mm-hmm.
like in a family, you don't question the fact that you're in the family, but every now and again you sit back and you look at all the people in your family and realize how much you love them, even the ones you cannot stand. And that's the position I am in. I'm looking back at everyone that I've known through all these decades. People I have lost, people who knew who have come in. Like last night, at 2:30 in the morning, I was giving a class in Control Room 2 to someone who was eager and anxious to learn. That is what is encouraging to me. This individual wants to know how to do this, not just how to do it so they can have a DJ show, but how to do this properly. How to do this with excellence. That keeps my heart going. That's why I stayed up to 2:30 in the morning to give a class. You know, that is the joy I have in this. And again, as I said, all the technical aspects of it, those of you staff members listening in, have no fear. It will be relatively painless. And the good thing is you already know everything. That is that is the good thing.
We need, however, as you said, this is the encouraging thing, that under your stewardship, we will make sure that everybody does, in fact, know mm-hmm. everything they need to know
exactly.
to produce the quality of radio that our listeners are entitled to.
There's a lot of B-minus and C-plus going on, but everybody's capable of A-plus.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you, Sydney. I'd like to introduce Denise Brown. Denise Brown is part of our development department, and in her capacity... she is charged with helping us arrange those things called premiums and also trying to coordinate events so that we can keep the station going in terms of revenues. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you, Trace. Good morning to each and every early morning WBAI listener. My name is Denise Brown Nelson, and I work and earn a living here at WBAI, and I believe that WBAI is a great station. I want to see it remain on the air, and I believe the listeners, who we value very much, care to see this station stay alive. So I'm here to explain primarily what I do, and basically what I do is I follow up for all the station's membership drives and special events. And we have a drive coming up in February. We're very excited about it. And we hope our listeners will show their love and support for the station. I want to say good morning to all my fellow co-workers. I got out of bed a lot earlier than I expected today. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad for the opportunity to speak to the listeners, who we value very much. We want to let you know that we love you and that we need your continued support. And
Denise,
keep listening.
Thank you. May I ask you to give a kind of comparative analysis? What has it been like, the same as Sydney? What has it been like, and what is it now for you, and what are you engaged in?
Well, I see that this station is really valued in the community. I see people have their concerns that they want to see the station stay on the air. But I believe change is a part of growth and development. And I see that you, Utrees, have a vision and you have ideas on how you want the station to develop. And so I commend you for being strong and courageous and standing up to the challenge. And
well, we all are, I think.
Yes.
It's
yes.
a shared courage.
Yes.
If there is.
You have to be a warrior in this situation.
Yeah.
But I also want to thank the listeners for showing their love and support. And I know there's a lot of people out there that really care and really want their feelings heard. Everybody has an idea of what they want the station to be. But we have to respect leadership, and we have to respect the fact that change is a part of growth and development and a part of life.
Well, thank you. And to that, I might commend our first pledge, which I received yesterday. A wonderful man named C. Adrian DeRue has made a pledge to the drive, which has not yet started, but which will soon start. And I want to thank him. It was an extraordinary pledge of $2,500.
Yes, I spoke to him yesterday.
And he has started our fund drive on. Thank you very much, Denise Brown Nelson.
You're welcome.
We go next to the heartbeat of our operation in many ways.
Evelyn,
Evelyn. Evelyn is the heartbeat of our operation. Evelyn Andino, not only do you hear her voice sometimes in public service announcements here, but Evelyn Andino works again in the heart of our operation, who gets our, as a one-woman wonder, getting our premiums out. Evelyn also is the heart of our operation because she brings a light and a joy to the station and is always ready with a smile and a caring that keeps us going here. She's nervous. She's receiving comforting pats on the shoulder, and she's pretending to be shy. But thank you, Evelyn, and welcome. I'd like you to give a glimpse to the listener of what your experiences have been like, what you have been engaged in along with the rest of us in doing during our assessment period, and where it is you think we are going.
Well, first of all, good morning to all the listeners out there. And I am a warrior because I'm an Aries. That's my sign.
Yay.
Thank God. That's how I made it.
Well, some of us who can't be Geminis will have to be Aries.
Anyway, being in charge of the premiums department has been quite a job since I've gotten here, due to the fact that the things that are being pitched during the drive are things that, especially the audios, are things that have to be created, masters have to be created for these premiums to fulfill part of the package, or sometimes the audios are the entire package. And due to the fact that there has been insufficient assistance in, you know, for the producers to provide us with these audios, getting the audios has been a problem most of the time for these for the premiums, which is a very difficult thing in my position, because my job here is to fulfill all the premiums to make sure every listener, which I also value very, very much, their premium, what they paid for. Like you said, it is a one-man show back there, just like a lot
One-woman show,
yes. Right. Just like a lot of other positions here in the radio station has been and still are. And that makes things more difficult at times. However, there are several outstanding premiums which I will eventually have to sit down and discuss as to how we're going to expedite that, how to fulfill those premiums, either by replacing them with other premiums, or we just have to sit down and discuss how we're going to do that, because I'm adamant as to getting each and every caller, each and every subscriber, what they originally pledged for. That's mm-hmm. my job, but that's what I want done all the time. I can't get what I want all the time, but in the future, from here on, hopefully my mission is to, the drives should be a little bit more simpler. Hopefully, you know, the premiums will not be as difficult to get for whatever reasons, either it's financial, the invoicing. Sometimes that deters, you know, us mm-hmm. getting things in a, you know, or in a timely fashion. And my thing is to try to get these things. What I want is to jump right on the ball. Once everything is being pitched and, you know, you finish mm-hmm. pitching your stuff, I want someone there. I want us, to either hire somebody or someone to come, volunteer, whatever, to help get this stuff to start it right away. I don't want to wait till after the drive is over, because that has cost me nothing but nightmares, to be honest.
What was the situation before? I mean, apart from some of the logistical problems here and with outstanding premiums that producers did not hand in on time, or the inability to obtain premiums that were promised by the producers, managerially or administratively, what were your difficulties?
My difficulties are basically explaining to the listener why I don't have this product. And like I said, the reason why I don't have it is because there was inadequate assistance to provide these things, because the people who pitch these premiums and produce the premiums also have jobs here that don't allow them to, you know, get away from that and work on this. And, you know, everybody, like I said, everybody has more than one job here, you know, and there's no way to get around that.
Well,
so far,
we have devised a system, the fundraiser. You want to talk about that?
Well, yeah. The upcoming fundraiser?
No, not the fundraiser, but the fundraiser after the fundraiser. We're going to have a little party.
Oh, okay. Okay, we're going to have a little party.
Make
we're going to get on a weekend or so. We're going to get everyone together, and I'm going to orchestra the shipping procedures.
You'll be our boss.
Of sending out these premiums. And this way we can get these things out in a timely manner, and this way I won't be embarrassed, and I save WBAI some type of embarrassment.
That's correct.
As well,
in fact, the idea is that we should not have you apologizing to the public for why it is their premiums that they have pledged for are not in their hands, and it has made our station look very bad. And we are, with your help and under your direction, after the fundraiser, we will have a fundraiser when everybody is going to be on hand. You will tell us what needs to be done, and we will get it done and get everything out of here in a timely fashion. Thanks, Evelyn. I'd like to introduce our Public Affairs Director, Jabel Fai. Jabel has been with us for a long time, and it has been an extraordinary assistance to us all, no matter what department we function in, because for some particular reason he has a talent for making real that which is only imagined, especially as it pertains to tapes and archived material and so forth, and orchestrating very difficult logistical matters. Jabel, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Okay.
Yes.
Could you tell us, again, we're trying to do a comparative analysis of what we were like a month ago and where you think we are now, 4 weeks later.
Well, I guess, you know, unlike you, I have inherited what I would call a temporary inheritance from Rosemary Milley.
I'm very temporary.
Yeah, very temporary, but you have a different inheritance in your hand. So mine is a whole lot more easier in a sense. I think Rosemary Milley was doing a good job, and the department was basically just ready to be picked up from wherever she left it off. But nevertheless, we had it's been very difficult for the past months. Difficult from an emotional standpoint, and difficult also from a physical standpoint. It's been very stressful. There are times when we look at one another, either Matthew or Jose or Sydney or yourself, and we wonder, where are we going to be a month from now? But nevertheless, we all seem to be saying that, but still staying around because we love the station. And it also pains most of us to even be here after all the things that we have been doing, and to feel that there is somebody out there who may think that somehow they love the station more than we do. But, you know, I'm very hopeful, And I'm very confident in everybody here in the studio, because I think there is a spirit here, and it's been guiding us, and it's been helping us to avoid some of the disasters that could take place here in this station. But and I think it has to do with some anticipation. And also, to I must give you a credit, Idris, for being able to somehow, in many cases, anticipate over certain situation, whereby some will go as far as describing it as a little paranoia, but before the sun sets, we see that that itself materializes itself and happens here in the station. And you have made some decisions that really helped us at least avoid some of the disasters. But talking about the department, I would like to say that so far, since we started for the past months, we've been concerned about operational needs, because as soon as this whole thing started, most people were concerned about their programs, mm-hmm. and were concerned about you know program related issues. And we have made sure that at least those who want to hear it understand that every program will stay as is, as we are actually even getting in the process of reactivating the program council that has been very useful in this station, and that actually brings in certain degree of democracy that people are crying about. And I do also need to say that it has been also your effort to see to it that Matthew Finch chairs that program council, along with other people who have a vested interest in the well-being of the station. So program-wise, we don't have any, you know, major issues. We are helping the producers to basically able to do what they have to do, and that brings us into the operational kind of logistics that we have actually understood and take upon. We made some decision to basically make sure that the, personally, I feel that I love it when the producers come in and ask for help. You know, it's very, you know, it's exciting, it's nice, it feels good. Spiritually, it heals me, because that's what we are here to do, is to make sure that basically to help every producers in the best of our abilities, and also make sure also to fill in certain gaps. We have done some live programming, preempting few programs here and there, but it was the public's will also in many different ways and demand. And that's something that we have done over the years for any major Senate confirmation or somehow situation. We go on live and give you the report, and people have asked for it, and we came up with something. And also, I would like to say that last Saturday we had live broadcast of the inaugural presidential inaugural demonstrations and celebration. And what was interesting about that live broadcast is that at least for a change, we see that in a case where there is important news, our news director was somehow not just asked to oversee the putting together of that program itself, but in return he came through with at least something that we could, you know, work with. In a sense, we're working together, we are talking to one another, we are exchanging information, and everybody seems to be contributing. And it's very important for also producers to know that I'm here today because I was here before, and I was asked to, I was here before in a sense I've done the job, and I guess given the situation and also the short period of time that Rosemary Miller has to go somewhere, she thought, and Utris also thought, that it would be, you know, at least good for now for me to fill in that position in an interim basis. And basically, you know, the next item I wanted to touch a little bit, because there's so much we can talk about, but, you know, I'm pretty sure we need to somehow allow more time for other things, for other issues to be raised. The membership drive is our next upcoming project. You know, today we feel like we can make it. Tomorrow we wonder, are we really going to make this one? And everybody's quite concerned about this membership drive. And what we are trying to do here, and what we, so far, we're we have a picture of what we want to do. Since this is going to take place during the month of February, Black History Month, and given the fact also the station has raised considerable amount of money based on African history and Black history, we thought that why not somehow do something that would be, you know, covering that overall theme of African history, Black history, but to even do better in a sense. We happen to be in a very critical situation whereby we as producers, we as the members of the station, we have to do more than basically, let's say, one-sided thing, like, because it's very important for people to understand that yes, there is Black, there is white, there is whatever colors you want to call them, but we are here together and we can always find way through our histories to find connection. And in finding that connection, not just we are teaching the people out there about race relations and human relations, but among ourselves also as a producer, so that everybody feels that they are part of this process and they have something to contribute in this process, and also to debunk the whole myth of Blacks taking over or whites taking over, that whole kind of talk that that's been here for quite a while, to basically show that yes, indeed, historically we all have some connection. And in that process, we thought that it would be also important for the first time probably during this membership drive to allow the producers in the first week, instead of preempting most of the producers in the first week, to allow producers to appeal to their listeners, to their immediate listeners, before they preempt it, but also to give us time to grow into this process and also to be able to assess who and how and what we should do in the next week to basically make sure that if there is any hole, at least we have learned through the process of just listening, but also helping one another, open to pitch together if we ask for it, and also open to collaborate on packages together. I think we can use this drive, and we intend to use this drive to basically strengthen our relationship as producers, no matter where we come from, and also to basically rekindle that spirit of working together that has really made us, go through some of the challenges that we have gone through over the years. So basically, we hope to start very smooth into this drive by observing and listening, but also we do know we have the crucial time, the wake-up call and talk back to work on some of the major packages that would outline the theme that we have chosen to somehow carry on. And I would not name names, but we do have many great friends of WBAI, historians and politicians, who are willing to come on board and to help and give in packages and also just be part of the process. And I guess as we get into it, you know, you would see for yourself. And I also would like to let the people know that if you are sitting out there and hearing, let's say, what you've been hearing, and you basically understand that yes, indeed, we do have a pocket of people who choose not to support the station because they do not like how some of the things that have been done here over the months or over the couple of months, how it was done here. I do believe that there are people out there who do understand the process that we're going through. There are people out there who do not feel as animalistic as some people do sound, let's say, toward the Clayton or other people in the station. I think I'm appealing to those people to make themselves heard, to come on the plate, to also show that yes, indeed, we do have some disgruntled listeners, but we do also have listeners who do understand what we're going through and are willing to support us in these difficult times. So I could sit here, you two, be talking until noon, but I think it is. I think Matthew, you know, Matthew would add to many of the things that I've spoken about, and thank you.
Thank you. This is a reference to Matthew Finch, who is the director of the arts department here, and who has been charged with rekindling the dormant program council.
Well, I'm glad to say that the arts department was never dormant. actually, in terms of Yeah, I do want to speak about the program council, and maybe that first, since the roots of many of the problems that we have all experienced here, not just over the last month, but over the last year and a half, have had to do with governance, and they've had to do with process. The program council has been a moribund body for a long time. What the program council actually serves to do is to allow producer input into issues of programming, not only what is on the air, but how programs proceed, how personnel issues are dealt with, and a whole range of things that are pretty much about on air, pretty much about what the listener hears. It is one of the more democratic bodies that functions at the station, chiefly because people are elected. We have department heads within the council. We also have elected representatives in three sectors of public affairs, arts, and at-large producers. We did reconvene that body the other day for an initial set of discussions. Since the program council is constituted under the aegis of the union has to be involved to a degree, but one of the very first things that we are going to do is to offer up elections, and we hope to do that on the other side of this drive, to have as full participation as we can within the station to elect or re-elect those elected members to the body. So I think that was a good thing, because that is a sector that's essentially independent here at the station and can try to answer the needs of all of the producers, including the producers and many of whom are within the arts department, who are here one day a week and who have a very different experience of these last few weeks than I do and than those of us in this room do. What we have tried to do within the arts department is to repeat an oft-repeated phrase these days, is to maintain the frequency. a lot of people feel that there is a fight over the future of this radio station. That may be so, but there has to be a radio station left to fight over. And we believe that part of what we can do is to preserve and protect that which is stable, and to keep it stable. And I think the producers here, despite their uncertainty, despite a certain level of fear on the part of their audience, have gone right on ahead with their work and have provided the very best work they can to the audience. And we think the audience will be there for that. So I think that's very, very good news. As far as the last 4 weeks and what listeners have been through, well, I said this at the very beginning, a resolution or a new start to this thing is not going to come quickly. What can come quickly is a further decline, further chaos. That can happen tomorrow. That can happen very easily. The resolution will take time to work out. There are grievance procedures that are being gone through. There are strategies that I hope will be taken more seriously to open up the doors and to lifting the bans on producers and to not furthering that process. But that process won't happen overnight. And because it is a long haul, in the meantime, we have to maintain the frequency, we have to keep this place running, and we have to keep this place solvent. As Jabel said during the fundraising drive, we are going to start out almost as we do in a summer drive. We're going to start out with people in their slots, pitching, supporting their programming, speaking directly to their audience, and let the audience come in at reasonable rates. We'll bring in the big packages in the second week or in the fifth day or something. But people always have the right to be skeptical. And if the future is uncertain, they have the right to either withhold their funds or to say, well, I will pledge at the skeptic's rate. I may have given you $200 last year, but this year I will give you this amount, and now you have to live up to it.
$199.99.
Well, it could be that, and you will have to live up to it. I think that is a fair challenge on the part of any listener to offer up to the people here at this radio station, especially those listeners who do miss what we have been and do believe that we can. We can be more cohesive in the future. But as I said, I don't think that'll happen next week. So I wanted initially to wait as long as possible to start this drive in hopes that we might have clearer skies ahead of us. But that's not going to happen. So we might as well just dig in and get to work and get through this passage together as best we can. and surprise ourselves, because I think there's the distinct possibility that we will come out at the other end feeling more cohesive and better supported and with a clearer idea of just what we are capable of doing with all of us working together.
Thank you, Matthew. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. I'm Yatrice Lead. I'm the interim general manager here, and we are having a report to the listeners featuring some of the voices here of WBAI who are doing the work of WBAI. Who are you?
I thought I got to do the station ID.
Okay. Sorry. It's your show, you know. I'm a guest. I keep repeating the bad manners. I'm sorry.
Invite all this company in, and then you just...
All right. So here's your shot.
Well,
this is WBAI. Go right ahead.
751, and we're going to turn it over very briefly to our man at the controls in the weather desk, Mark Linton, and so we'll get that done, and we'll move on.
All right.